And in showbiz, it's being reported that Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie secretly tie the knot on Christmas Day. They're said to have got married on the Turks and Caicos Islands in the Caribbean. They've been on holiday on a private estate there along with their six children. That's the latest. I'm Rachel Jewell.
This is Phoenix FM.
Flight controllers, listen up. Give me a go, no go for launch. Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Surgeon.
Go fly.
Ecom.
We're go fly.
GNC.
We're go.
Tell me.
Go.
Control.
Go fly.
Procedures.
Go.
Inco.
Go.
FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
Showtime.
Hello, Happy New Year, and welcome to the Stage and Screen Show.
Back up, we don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well,
we're going, we don't need roads. Bless your beautiful hide, wherever you may be. We ain't met yet, but I'm a willing to bet the gal for me. Bless your beautiful hide, you're just as good as lost. I don't know your name, but I'm mistaken my claim, lest your eyes is crossed. Oh, I'd swap my gun and I'd swap my mule, though whoever took it would be one big fool. Or pay your way through cooking school, if in you would say I do. Bless your beautiful hide, prepare to bend your knee, and take that vow, cause I'm a-telling you now, you're the gal for me. Pretty and trim, but kind of slim. Heavenly eyes, but oh, that size. She's got to be right to be the bride for me. Bless your beautiful hide, wherever you may be. Trim, but not too slim. Heavenly eyes and just the right size. Simple and sweet. And sassy as can be. Bless her beautiful hide. Yes, she's the girl for me.
From the 1954 film musical Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, that was Howard Keel with Bless Your Beautiful Hide. The film featured songs by Gene DePaul and Saul Chaplin and was directed by Stanley Donen. It was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Picture in 1954, but lost out to On the Waterfront. The movie did lead to an Oscar, however, for composer Saul Chaplin, who won the award for Best Musical Scoring of a Motion Picture. And then a few years later, in 1961, he took home the same award for his work on another film.
There's a place for us, somewhere a place for us, peace and quiet and open air. Wait for us somewhere. There's a time for us. Someday a time for us. Time together with time to spend. Time to look. Time to care.
Somewhere we'll find a new way of living.
We'll find a way of forgiving. Somewhere
there's a place for us, a time and place for us. Hold my hand and we're halfway there. Hold my hand and I'll take you there. Somehow,
somewhere from the hugely popular film version of West Side Story, which is one of the many incredible songs written by Leonard Bernstein and Stephen Sondheim. The film holds the distinction of having won more Academy Awards than any other musical film, 10 in total, unless that is you count the honorary award given to Maurice Chevalier in 1959, the year that Gigi won 9 Oscars, which would actually make it a tie. West Side Story stars Richard Boehmer as Tony and Natalie Wood as Maria, although neither of them provided their own singing vocals. So the song we just heard was not actually performed by Richard Boehmer and Natalie Wood, but rather Jim Bryant and Marnie Nixon. And this was certainly not the first time that Marnie Nixon was called upon to dub a big-name star's vocals in a major studio movie.
Whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect and whistle a happy tune so no one will suspect I'm afraid. While shivering in my shoes, I strike a careless pose and whistle a happy tune and no one ever knows I'm afraid. The result of this deception is very strange to tell, for when I fool the people I fear, I fool myself as well. I whistle a happy tune, and every single time, the happiness in the tune convinces me that I'm not afraid. Make believe you're brave, and the trick will take you far. You may be as brave as you make believe you are.
Shivering in my shoes, as I strike a careless pose and whistle a happy tune that no one ever knows. I'm afraid the result of this deception is very strange to tell. For when I fool the people, I fear I fool myself as well. I whistle a happy tune, and every single time the happiness in the tune convinces me that I'm not afraid. Make believe you're brave, and the trick will take you far. You may be as brave as you make believe you are.
That was Marnie Nixon providing the vocals for Deborah Kerr in the 1956 film adaptation of Oscar and Hammerstein's The King and I, there performing I Whistle a Happy Tune. And some years later, she was at it again, this time on behalf of Audrey Hepburn.
Bed, bed, I couldn't go to bed. My head's too light to try to set it down. Sleep, sleep, I couldn't sleep tonight, not for all the jewels in the crown. I could have danced all night, I could have danced all night, and still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done.
I could have danced, danced, danced.
Once again, that was Marnie Nixon as Audrey Hepburn as Eliza Doolittle in George Cukor's 1964 film version of Lerner and Lowe's My Fair Lady. Although for many years Marnie Nixon's involvement in these hugely successful movie musicals was largely overlooked, if not totally ignored in fact, she is now recognised for her work and in 2008 was presented with the Singer Symposium's Distinguished Artist Award.
Phoenix FM.
The film version of My Fair Lady also starred Rex Harrison, who certainly did perform his musical numbers in his own inimitable style, as did Jonathan Pryce in Cameron Mackintosh's 2001 West End Revival production.
I've grown accustomed to her face. She almost makes the day begin. I've grown accustomed to the tune. She whistles night and noon. Her smiles, her frowns, her ups, her downs are second nature to me now. Like breathing out and breathing in, I was serenely independent and content before we met. Surely I could always be that way again. And yet, I've grown accustomed to her looks, accustomed to her voice, accustomed to her face. Marry Freddy. What an infantile idea. What a heartless, wicked, brainless thing to do. But she'll regret it. Oh, she'll regret it. It's doomed before they even take the vow. I can see her now, Mrs. Freddy Ainsworth Hill, in a wretched little flat above a store. I can see her now, not a penny in the till, and a bill collector beating at the door. She'll try to teach the things I taught her and end up selling flowers instead, begging for her bread and water while her husband has his breakfast in bed. In a year or so, when she's prematurely grey and the blossom on her cheek has turned to chalk, she'll come home and lo, he'll have upped and run away with a social climbing heiress from New York. Poor Eliza, how simply frightful, how humiliating, how delightful. How poignant it will be on that inevitable night when she hammers on my door in tears and rags. Miserable and lonely, repentant and contrite, will I let her in or hurl her to the wolves? Show her kindness or the treatment she deserves? Will I take her back or throw the baggage out? But I'm a most forgiving man, the sort who never could, ever would, take a position and staunchly never budge. Just a most forgiving man. But I will never take her back. If she were crawling on her knees, let her promise to atone, let her shiver, let her moan. I will slam the door and let the hellcat freeze. Marry Freddy. But I'm so used to hear her say good morning every day, her joys, her woes, her highs, her lows are second nature to me now. Like breathing out and breathing in, I'm very grateful she's a woman and so easy to forget. Rather like a habit one can always break. And yet,
I've grown accustomed to the trace of something in the air, accustomed to her face.
I want to be a lady in a flower shop instead of selling flowers at the corner of Tottenham Court Road. But they said they won't take me unless I can talk more genteel. He said he could teach me. Well, here I am, ready to pay, not asking any favour. And he treats me as if I was dirt. I know what lessons cost and I'm ready to pay.
It's almost irresistible. She's so deliciously low. So horrible.
I wash my face and hands before I come. I did.
Eliza? Where the devil are my slippers?
Jonathan Pryce as Professor Henry Higgins from the 2001 London cast recording of My Fair Lady, which won 3 Olivier Awards, including Outstanding Musical Production.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Well, I am delighted to be joined in the studio this evening by Steve Arbour, who is a very good friend of mine and the director, in both senses of the word, of The Cut Productions, a local interactive theatre company committed to creating innovative and dynamic entertainment experiences that can be transferred to venues of all shapes and sizes. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thank you for coming in.
No problem.
So the shows that you produce and that the Cut Productions produce aren't theatre in the traditional sense, I think it's fair to say. How does it all work?
No, they're not. We call it dinner theatre, our series of a slice of shows. And basically, they're interactive experiences in the sense that they are always set in a restaurant. So the shows take place around the audience whilst they eat.
Right.
So, yeah. For example, we've got our kind of flagship show, I guess you'd call it, is A Slice of 40 Towers.
Okay. And that's been running for some time, I think, hasn't it?
Yes, that's been running for over 2 years now. So the nature of that one is that you're basically being served by the cast of 40 Towers as if you were eating in the restaurant itself. So we've got professional actors and impersonators who play these characters, series of sketches, mostly improvisation between the audience and the actors themselves. Like I say, treating you very much like you're eating in the restaurant. On top of that, we've got a murder mystery show. So traditionally, they're based around a meal anyway. We've got a race night format, a slice of the races. So we put a kind of fictional show, fictional twist on the standard kind of race night theme. And so
where, I mean, in particular, perhaps thinking about 40 Towers, where do you get your actors from? Because I'm guessing the requirements are quite specific.
Yes, I mean, so you obviously, I mean, the physicality for something like that is so important because everyone knows those characters really well. I actually know Tim, who plays Basil Fawlty in our show. Have known him for quite some time. He's done the impersonation for about 30 years. We kind of put this idea together, actually. Went out, cast the other actors. How did we go about it? We just kind of used the, you know, Casting Call Pro, these kind of online services that, you know, put out casting calls to all sorts of actors.
Yeah.
Found them like that, held auditions in London, and have gradually built up a pool of actors.
So is there more than one, again, thinking about 40 Towers, is there more than one company and effectively you could have two shows running simultaneously or?
Yeah, so like I say, we've got a pool of actors now. Yeah. So just a few weeks ago, actually, we had two shows running on the same night. As it happened, they were quite close to one another, so I was able to kind of run between the two a little bit.
Right.
But yeah, that's kind of where we are. That's the stage we're at, I guess, and gradually kind of building up more and more.
Great. And do you have regular venues where you would put these shows on, or does it vary depending on
until excuse me until the end of last year, we were hosting a monthly show, monthly performance of A Slice of 40 Towers at a place called the Old King's Head, which is in Billericay. That did come to an end, albeit temporarily, at the end of last year, but we're hoping to kind of get some more up and running there soon and use that venue or continue to use it as a sort of base. It changed ownership, so that's really why we had to put it on hold for a bit.
Right.
But then we primarily sell the shows to venues and individuals, you know, wherever we can, basically. I think the next kind of local show, I would say, would be the 40 Towers would be Mary Green Manor, which is in Brentwood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's on, when's that? That's May the 10th. But yes, we kind of go, you know, far afield. So,
and if people who are listening now were interested in booking tickets for that particular night, May the 10th, how would they go about doing that?
Aside from the Old King's Head, every other venue will sell tickets themselves. So it would be Mary Green Manor that you'd need to approach.
Great. Okay. And then it sounds pretty established. What's the history? How long has this been happening? And where did the initial idea and the company come from?
The company was, I guess, kicking around even sort of 6 years ago as a kind of amateur theatre company where we staged a couple of my own traditional stage plays on the fringe circuit in London. And that was whilst I was working in London. A couple of years ago, I took voluntary redundancy to start the company up professionally. And this is where we're at now. And like I say, A Slice of 40 Towers, the first show we put together. I knew Tim, so that was how we kind of got started with that.
Brilliant. And are there any brand new projects that are sort of in the wings that you're working on at the moment, or maybe a bit early to say?
We are trying to look at doing some more traditional murder mysteries because there's always a big market for that sort of thing. Other than that, I like to spend my time, as you know, writing my own stuff, so I try and balance the two. But murder mysteries, and have a variety of those sort of things available.
Great stuff. And then the website, just to, again, if people want to have a look, what's the web address?
The web address is thecutproductions.com. So thecutproductions with an s.com.
Okay. So if that sounds like it's of interest, and I have to say I've been along to a couple of the 40 Towers nights and some of the others as well, and they are superb nights out, fun for all the family, and you get a bit of everything because Steve mentioned food's included in the price for some of the nights. So it's a full entertainment package. Steve, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us.
No problem.
Just before you go, and I do this with everybody who comes on the show, I'm going to ask you to select one piece of music from any film or show to add into the stage and screen show time capsule. Now, the idea of this is that if you could select only one piece of music that you would preserve for future generations, what would it be and why? Now, we're just raising the time capsule, so I'm going to give you a minute to think about that, and then I'll then I'll be asking for your choice. Okay, Steve, what's it going to be?
It is going to be Sun and Moon from the musical Miss Saigon.
Good choice. What's the reason behind that?
That was actually a song. I remember we used to go on holiday to the same place each year whilst I was a kid, and they had quite a big sort of theatrical troupe that would do a lot of musical numbers. And I remember hearing that one when I was very young, finding out which musical it was from. And then that musical, Miss Saigon, was the first one I ever went to in London. And so it's always kind of stuck with me.
And coincidentally, I have to say, this is my favourite musical as well. So
yeah.
This is from the original London cast recording, Sun and Moon.
Mystery, I'm from a world that from all that you are. How in the light of one night did we come so far?
Outside, day starts to dawn.
Your moon still floats on high.
The birds awake.
The stars shine too.
My hands still shake.
I reach for you.
From the original London cast recording of the excellent Miss Saigon, that was Leia Salonga and Simon Bowman performing Sun and Moon. A great addition to the Stage and Screen Show time capsule. Thank you, Steve.
No problem.
And thank you very much for joining me today.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. All the very best to the Cup Productions for 2013. Well, Miss Saigon, based on Puccini's tragic Madame Butterfly, opened at the Theatre Royal Drury Lane on September the 20th, 1989, and closed in October 1999 after over 4,000 performances. Coincidentally, it starred Jonathan Pryce, who we just heard a moment ago performing in My Fair Lady. The show was the second major success for the French composing duo Alain Boublil and Claude-Michel Schoenberg, the first of which, of course, was Les Misérables. And this is the ideal time to mention that next week I'll be presenting a Les Mis special of the Stage and Screen Show to coincide with the UK cinema release of the big screen adaptation of the show next Friday.
Phoenix FM.
Now, Leia Salonga, who created the role of Kim in the original London and Broadway productions of Miss Saigon, won an Olivier, a Tony, a Drama Desk, an Outer Critics Circle and a Theatre World Award for her performance, which can be described as nothing less than a powerhouse.
You who I cradled in my arms, you asking as little as you can. Little snip of a little man. I know I'd give my life for you. You didn't ask me to be born. Why should you learn of war or pain? To make sure you're not hurt again, I swear I'll give my life for you. I've tasted love beyond all fear. That brought you here, and in one perfect night, when the stars burned like new, I knew what be who you want to be. You can choose whatever heaven grants, as long as you can have your chance. I swear I'll give my life for you. Sometimes I wake up reaching for him. I feel his shadow brush my head, but there's just moonlight on my bed. Was he a ghost? Was he a lie that made my body laugh and cry? Then by my side, the proof I see, his little one, God's of the sun. Bring him to where I'll give my life for you. No one can stop what I must do. I swear I'll give my life for you.
Once again, from the London cast recording of Miss Saigon, that was Leia Salonga with I Would Give My Life For You.
Phoenix FM.
Now, Leia Salonga had often been described as having a Disney-like quality to her voice, which the Disney studio obviously agreed with, as in 1998, she was cast as the singing voice of Mulan.
Heart. Who
From the 36th animated Disney movie Mulan, that was Lea Salonga with Reflection. The film was nominated for an Oscar for Original Music Score, composed by Jerry Goldsmith, who is probably best known for this. That was Jerry Goldsmith's theme to the 1996 movie Star Trek First Contact, which began with Alexander Courage's classic Star Trek fanfare and then transitioned into a reworking of the familiar opening title sequence theme to Star Trek The Next Generation.
Phoenix FM.
And now let's take a look at this week's stage news update. Connie Fisher has pulled out of a production of Noel Coward's The Vortex at the Rose Theatre in Kingston because of ongoing vocal issues. A spokeswoman for the play said new casting would be announced soon. Coward's play will run at the theatre from February the 7th until March the 2nd and will star Kerry Fox, James Dreyfuss and David Dawson. Fisher, who found fame through BBC's How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria, was forced to pull out of a tour of The Sound of Music in 2011 because of a vocal condition, which had seriously compromised her singing voice. Earlier this year, she starred in a production of Wonderful Town, which toured the UK. A production of the disputed Shakespearean comedy Fair M is to be staged at the Union Theatre in London. It will be directed by Phil Wilmot, whose previous work at the Southwark venue includes Shakespeare's King John and another disputed Shakespeare play, Double Falsehood, and will star actor Caroline Haynes in the lead role. Fair M was discovered in a volume in the library of Charles II and was later collected with 13 other works that were also thought to have been written by the Bard and published in the Shakespeare Apocrypha by scholar Tucker Brooke in 1908. The show opens on January 8th and runs until February the 9th. And finally, postponed Tori Amos musical, The Light Princess, will be staged at the National Theatre towards the end of this year, the venue has confirmed. The musical, which is based on George MacDonald's story, was originally meant to be performed at the Littleton last year. However, in October 2011, The National announced the show had to be postponed to allow for further development. A spokesman for The National Theatre has said that they are indeed looking at a production slot later this year and will announce further details and dates in the coming weeks. Marianne Elliott will direct as originally announced. From the Tony Award-winning coming-of-age puppet parable stage musical Avenue Q, that was the opening number of the show, written by Robert Lopez and Jeff Marks. The show famously features puppets who star and sing alongside and are operated by the human actors. It's been described as an adult version of Sesame Street and features a number of potentially controversial songs, including The Internet is for Porn, If You Were Gay, and Everyone's a Little Bit Racist Sometimes. Now, I'm not going to play any of those today, but I am going to play this.
Why does everything have to be so hard?
Maybe you'll never find your purpose.
Lots of people don't.
But then I don't even know why I'm alive.
Well, who does, really? Everyone's a little bit unsatisfied.
Everyone goes round a little empty inside.
Take a breath. Look around,
swallow your pride.
For now, for now.
Nothing lasts,
life goes on,
full of surprises.
You'll be faced with problems of all shapes and sizes.
You're going to have to make a few compromises.
we'll accept the things we cannot avoid for now.
For now.
For now.
From the original Broadway cast recording of Avenue Q, that was the finale of the show, For Now. And from one group of puppets to another.
Everything is great, everything is grand. I got the whole wide world in the palm of my hand.
Everything is perfect, it's falling into place. I can't seem to wipe this smile off my face.
Life's a happy song, and there's someone by my side to sing along.
When you're alone, life can be a little rough. It makes you feel like you're 3 foot tall. When it's just you, well, times can be tough. When there's no one there to catch your fall.
Everything is great, everything is grand. I got the whole wide world in the palm of my hand. Everything is perfect, it's falling into place. I can't seem to wipe this smile off my face. Life smells like a rose,
with someone to paint
and someone to pose. Life's a piece of cake, with someone to pedal,
someone to break.
Life is full of glee,
with someone to saw,
someone to see.
Life's a happy song, when there's someone by my side to sing along.
I've got everything that I need right in front of me. Nothing's stopping me. Nothing that I can't be with you right here next to me.
Life's a piece of cake with someone to give
and someone to take.
Life's a piece of pie
with someone to wash and someone to drive.
Life's an easy road
with someone beside you to share the load.
Life is full of highs
with someone to start
and someone to fry.
Life's a leg of lamb
with someone there to lend a hand.
Life's a bunch of flowers
with someone to while away the hours.
Life's a fillet of fish.
Hey!
Yes, it is.
Life's a happy song
with
someone by your side to sing.
Sorry, I was super excited.
Oh, this is the most romantic thing ever. I've always dreamt of seeing Los Angeles.
I know, Walter can't wait either.
Written by Christopher Beck and performed by the cast, that was Life's a Happy Song from the 2011 movie The Muppets. And that brings us to the end of another hour, I'm afraid. After the news, it's Body Talk, and Andrew Babbage will be sitting in for Melanie Watson. The show is in association with Spire Hartswood Hospital, followed by Curveballs with Nick Field at 8, and then Piers Hewitt will be here from 10 with some more of his Recents and Decents. My thanks to Stephen Arbour of The Cut Productions for joining me today, and to you for listening. And I hope you can join me next week for more from Hollywood, Broadway and the West End. That's The Stage and Screen Show, next Wednesday at 6 p.m. only on Phoenix FM. Bye for now.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.
From the Sky News Centre at 7, family and friends have been paying tribute to a British man who was shot dead while at a New Year's party in Thailand.